Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
Final hour of Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. Darren McFarland is off today. Should be back with us tomorrow. And as promised, Elliot Friedman joins us for his regular time slot every Thursday at this time. Elliot, thanks a lot for joining us once again. Great excitement last night, as we know we're going to have at least one Game 7. I was a little worried there, and I'm not so sure we don't have at least two
by
the time tonight is over. Yeah, Chase guaranteed that the Avalanche would come through with a victory last night, and they did.
I heard about this. That's a bold prediction. Did you put your money where your mouth is?
I did. There was a wager, and Darren now has to be my intern for a day.
This is like Seinfeld. He's got to be your butler.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. So, you know, it really does. It really appears, Elliot, that, you know, Colorado, when they get to their, when they rev it up at high level, it's tough to stop them, even for a really good defensive team like Dallas. But the way this series is twisted and turned, there's almost no scenario that I couldn't foresee in Game 7.
I agree with that. You know, I'll tell you this, like, we had Hutchinson, the goalie now for Colorado and Toronto this year, and he really had a difficult year. Like, I think for a lot of fans up here, to see that the way that Colorado has come back to win two games with him in goal has been a bit of a surprise. I mean, they blitzed Dallas at the beginning of the game on Monday, and that one was over before it started, when it was 5-0 in the first period. But last night, he gave up that really ugly first goal, and I think a lot of us up here were like, uh-oh, here we go. And basically, Dallas goes right down the ice and scores, and Colorado goes right down the ice and scores and controls the game. So I think I think you're right. It just shows that when the Avalanche are going and they're coming at you downhill, good luck. Good luck handling that. But I think for a lot of us where I live here in Toronto, watching, you know, the way they've controlled the games with Hutchinson and goal has been really something, really surprising.
You know, what's great about this series, Elliot, is, and the league talks about this all the time, they love when you could be watching a game and a team's down a couple of goals and the other team comes roaring back. It's got the lead changes. It's got what a lot of people say, well, you know, I love the intensity of hockey, but I don't like when a team jumps up by one or two and you're thinking, oh, boy, it's going to be really tough. You rarely see a team come back. Not in this series. You've had all kinds of twists.
Yes, and that's good. Like, you want that, right? Like, you want excitement. You want drama. You want things that surprise you. And like, I think a lot of people thought the series was over when the second Colorado goalie went down. And now all of a sudden, as you guys said, we're looking at a Game 7. I think a lot of people thought that the Vancouver series was over when their number one goalie went down, and all of a sudden, you know, the kid Demko put up a great game, and there's Game 6 tonight, and there could be Game 7 tomorrow. You certainly, I don't know if you want the craziness that ended the NBA game last night where the referees basically took over and decided it. I don't think you ever want that, but you want drama, and we're getting drama. There's no question about it.
You mentioned Thatcher Demko, who, unless you're really on top of things, you probably don't know much about. He sounds like he would be a professor, a guy with a pipe, you know, sitting by a fireside or something. But the Predators did see him, I think, once. I know they're high on him. It's an interesting situation developing with that young Vancouver team, with Markstrom being a free agent at the end of the season. So what's the market for Markstrom? And is Demko now a guy that they're like, well, if he was our starter, we'd be okay.
You know, well, maybe that's what I'll tell him to do. I'll send a note to the people I know who work for the Canucks and say that Demko should play in a smoking jacket tonight. Like, that would be a good idea.
Could be a good poster for your wall.
Yeah, that would be very good. You know, it's a weird off season. Like, if you take a look at the playoffs right now and the way it's setting up, the number one goalie in Vancouver until he got hurt is a UFA. The number one goalie in Vegas, Robin Lehner, is a UFA. The 1A in New York, because Varlamov is the number one, that's Thomas Greiss, he's a UFA. And the backup in Philly, actually, I can't remember what Brian Elliott is. But I think that all of these, I don't know if there's ever been a more volatile goalie market before. Like, you look at the unrestricted free agents. There's Markstrom, there's Lehner, there's Holtby. I mean, those guys have all been starters. There's good 1A guys like Khudobin from Dallas, Greiss from the Islanders, Cam Talbot from Calgary. And then there's some really good goalies who are potentially available in trade. Matt Murray from Pittsburgh, although he had a rough year this year, and Frederick Anderson in Toronto, potentially. Hmm. So I think that there's a lot of goalies out there. It's kind of a flooded market. I don't know if we've ever seen this before. So we're in a situation here where, and also because of the tighter cap and the COVID world, we don't really know where all these musical chairs are going to go and how many people are going to be available and who's going to get squeezed. So it's going to be a wild market for the off-season goalies. I think Carolina wants to upgrade, and some of these teams have to make decisions. Calgary's got to make decisions on what it wants to do. I think Edmonton wants to make at least one potential change. You know, Darcy Kuemper could be available in Phoenix, and you saw what he did in the postseason. So there's a lot out there, and it's going to be interesting to see where all this settles.
I can see 100% why the Blues made the move for Jake Allen to clear some space mm-hmm. to hopefully sign Petrangelo. I'm trying to figure out what's in it for Montreal. That's a lot of money to budget for two veteran goalies. So what is their thinking with that deal?
What, you think $15 million in goal is a lot? Like,
that's a little steep.
I'm trying to figure out if it's ever been higher. I don't know of a situation where a team has ever spent more money in goal. Dallas was at $9 million a couple of years ago, but this is like obviously dwarfs that. This is the situation there. Montreal's got a lot of capital. They have space for next year. So even though it looks strange and ridiculous, it's not something, at least at this time, that they can't handle. So that's number one. Allen is only under contract for one more year. So it's not like you're sitting there and saying they've really hamstrung themselves for a few seasons. It's a one-year situation. One or two of the Montreal coaches coached him in junior, so they know him. And the other thing here is, like, I went back the last 3 years and looked up the Canadiens' numbers when Carey Price doesn't start. And their goals against average is 3.25, and their save percentage is right around 900. And both those numbers are below average. I think the Canadiens have thrown away way too many points with the backup position, and they've just said, we're putting an end to this. Now, they have a really good prospect, a kid by the name of Caden Primo. Gives him another year in the minors until he's ready. But I understand this move for them. It makes sense to me.
Elliot, this is on the Predator front here, and I'm just curious. I was reading The Athletic had a good piece on, you know, how they do their rankings of prospects, and the Predators rank pretty low right now, quite honestly. But there's a couple of guys that seem to be in the plans for next year. And, you know, as John Hines said, we don't want just to play these guys. If we're going to play young players, they have to help us win. Eli Tolvanen, we've been waiting for a long time on. We've been keeping close tabs. It's taken a lot longer than maybe we initially thought because of that splash he made in the Olympics and the KHL. When you talk to different people about him, do they still think he could have the upside that we all hoped back in the day?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, one of the things like I've kind of learned is that you know, one of the things that I've kind of learned over the years, because I was a kid myself, is that you know, first of all, he's come over to North America. You got to get used to North America. Number two, you're a kid, and we all go through different, you know, we all go through different situations when we're young. You know, where's our heads? How, where's our head? Where are our heads at? What's our maturity level at? And I'm not saying he's immature. I just think some people are ready before others. You know, how dedicated are you? Things like that. I think the other thing too is the AHL is a really tough league. Like it is, people don't get credit. The league doesn't get credit for how hard it is. Sometimes there are guys who, you know, they don't really show it all the way until they get up. Like a guy like him, there aren't as many guys in, with his offensive talent in the American Hockey League as he has. And what I'm wondering in Nashville is if they're kind of looking at it like, okay, when he gets up here, if we give him a chance to play with our top offensive players, are we going to see another level that we haven't seen yet in the American Hockey League? And I bet you that's a question that the Predators are asking themselves. Like, what happens if he comes up here and plays with our top guys? Is there another
Matt Duchene is the, what everybody is wondering. Is that a match?
Is that a match? Or like, even if you break up your number one line, I don't know if you would after the playoffs this year. But yes, I think you have to find that out. Like, one of the best things I really believe is that you can, it's always easier to solve your problems internally than externally. And that's why I think you at least have to give Toivonen the look and see what you get. You know, I'm sure there's part of the, I'm sure there's always talk about guys have to earn their opportunities. You don't want to give someone something that they don't deserve. But at some point in time, you just have to say, we're going to try this and see where it goes. And I just think you're at that point with them.
The other one I want to ask you about, I'm just curious if he has come across your radar. He plays right there in the OHL. It's Philip Tomasino, who it's rare for them to talk about a prospect that might be ready at his age. Usually it's the road goes through Milwaukee. It's happened for virtually all of their guys other than Seth Jones and a rare exception, Scott Hartnell. But where does Tomasino fit on the spectrum for you?
Well, I haven't seen a lot of them, but I have two coworkers who see a lot of the junior players in the area here. And that's Jeff Merrick and Sam Cosentino, and they like them. I know they're fans. So I defer to those guys. They say that you've got a player there, and I will defer to them. Like I just think because of the cap situation and the overall sport cash situation the way it is, that I think some of these guys are going to get more opportunity now faster than maybe we thought. Like, I think it's always nice to say, all right, a guy's going to go down to Milwaukee, he's going to marinate for the Admirals for a few years, but, you know, that's, I think now some guys are going to get rushed faster, particularly in places where you're capped out a bit. Now, the one thing I don't know with Tomasino is what's his contract situation. You know, if he's got a lot of bonuses that push his number up, that could make it harder for him to get in. Like, one of the things that's been happening in Toronto, guys, is they told a couple of their top prospects, one's a defenseman, Rasmus Sandin, another a forward named Nick Robertson, you know, because of our cap situation, if you want to get here faster, you no bonuses. And those players would have gotten bonuses, but they agreed to contracts without them because it would get them to the NHL faster. And now they're both going to be on the roster next year. So I'd have to see what Tomasino's contract is. I don't know it off the top of my head. But if it's a situation where the bonuses aren't problematic, I could see guys getting up there faster.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. Joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. So Peter Laviolette has been mentioned. I know he was mentioned in New Jersey before getting passed on that job, but he has been mentioned with Washington. Do you see that as a good fit? What are you hearing on Laviolette when it comes to the Capitals?
Well, I think with New Jersey, it was just a situation where, you know, Laviolette, they couldn't reach a contract. I think Laviolette sees a certain market for himself, and I don't have any problem with that. You should ask for as much as you think you deserve. And I just don't think New Jersey was willing to go there, and that's why that kind of fell apart. I think in Washington, I think he's on their radar. I think they have permission to talk to him. I mean, because I guess he's under contract with you guys for two more years. It creates a situation where the Capitals and the Predators would be able to share some of the costs, depending on what the Capitals are willing to pay him. You know, Washington is not a team historically that believes in paying their coaches a ton. That's why Barry Trotz is with the Islanders now. But I do think there's interest. Immediately when they made the coaching change and their GM, Brian McClellan, came out and said experienced coach, I had a couple people who know better than I do say that, look out, he's going to be on Washington's radar and he will be a candidate. And I think that's absolutely the case. But I do think they're going to look at some other candidates too. Gerard Gallant, I would think, would be one. Mike Babcock, potentially one. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they at least talked to their old head coach, Bruce Boudreau, and just at least, I don't know if it would go anywhere, but I think they're gonna talk to him at least.
Very interesting. Tell us more about, you know, we know Florida had a GM opening after Dale Tallon, parting ways with him. Bill Zito becomes their new GM, previously with the Blue Jackets. What can you tell us about him?
He is a bulldog. Whenever I talk to teams about Columbus, especially agents, like, it's kind of funny, actually. The agents will say, like, oh, my God, those guys are brutal to negotiate with. And, like, they take hard lines. They take lines, and they don't go very far. And so that's one thing that they talk about with not only with Zito, but Kekalainen, a lot of those guys. Like, they are hard negotiators. You know, Zito's been an agent. He's been an executive. From an organizational point of view, he definitely knows how to create an agenda for a team and go with it from there. And Columbus is a team. They had an agenda, and they didn't vary from it too much. So I think, like, from an organizational structure system, I think they know that, and that's what I think he's going to bring to Florida. You know, the one thing the Panthers really steal is last year, guys, they didn't have a single player on an entry-level contract make a meaningful contribution. It is very, very hard to win that way in the NHL. It's difficult, difficult if not impossible. And they want to do a better job of finding players, and that's what they're going to entrust Zito with. How do we do a better job of finding players? But primarily, guys, he's, you know, like, they've given some big numbers. They're going to have some big negotiations coming up. Alexander Barkov, the number one center, is an unrestricted free agent in 2 years. It's going to be an interesting one.
Elliot, real quick, we know that Todd Reardon is going back to Pittsburgh as an assistant, you know, has ties there from the past, but their former assistants, players, Sergei Gonchar, Mark Recchi, where do you see these guys landing? The Predators, you know, I've kind of thought, could that be a possibility of two former players bringing them in as assistant coach? But have you heard anything about either one of those guys?
You know, I have not. You know, one of those things is both those guys have big ties to Pittsburgh, obviously, right? And both those guys have done very well financially. So it's not like they're going to be hurting for situations. They can pick and choose their spots. I haven't heard much, but you've given me a homework assignment. Now I guess I have to go do it.
Okay.
So there we go.
By the way, I just looked up Tomasino's contract. So his AAV is under $1.1 million. I think that gives him a shot.
Okay, so that's conducive to him sticking, you're saying?
Yes, I think that gives him
a better chance if he's ready.
That gives him a shot, yeah.
Elliot, we'll let you go on that. Great stuff, as always. Enjoy the game sixes tonight and maybe game sevens, plural, but we'll see. We'll see. We're
Let's hope so. More drama, the better.
There you go. Elliot, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Great stuff, as always, from Elliot Friedman. The best. He is top level.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of great ones. He's right at the top of the list as far as info, hockey analysis, et cetera. When we come back, we will take one step further with the Predators' prospects, because that's a big part of the equation. And then we'll mix in a couple of things we haven't gotten to yet today, because we have been in the flow. We've talked a lot of Titans today. Some interesting baseball stories going on. Some really big drama in the NBA last night. But we'll talk hockey next, and we'll talk Predators prospects in particular when we come back. Stay tuned. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.